If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I'm your host, Patty Parlays. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Diz. Diz, how was your weekend, buddy?
I lost more bets than you could imagine, but somehow we netted a profit. I'm not going to think about how. I'm not going to think about why. But we're moving on.
Okay. Well, hey, the one thing we always tell people when we go for a weekend is make sure it's profitable, and it sounds like you hit that. So we're in a good place.
That's right.
And then joining us again for... I've lost track how many episodes in a row now, but our Eagles expert, our NFL expert, Connor. Connor, welcome back.
Thank you. Disappointing loss for the Eagles. But all four of my picks that I gave you last time I was on the pod, all hit. So, solid.
Hey, if you're not listening, if you're not betting with us, you're losing money, and that's just the fact of the matter. And then joining us for the first time in a while, our horse racing expert, our golf expert, our expert on all things that not many people are experts at, Dirty Mike. Dirty Mike, welcome back.
Hey, boys.
Long time no speak.
We talked yesterday, Pat.
I know. I was just kidding. But anyway. let's talk about my weekend. My weekend was also very profitable, but it was an emotional roller coaster. And to start off, hand up, this one's on me. I told you guys on Friday's episode that I was going to tweet out the Hail Mary parlays of the day every single time, or every day this weekend. I did not, and I actually hit one of those bets. So 100%, that's on me. I know. Do as I say, not as I do, all right? But
how are we supposed to know what you do if you don't say it?
Well, I did say, yeah, okay, fair. I just messed up, all right? Hands up. That's what happens. But so to start off on Saturday, I had a 7-leg moneyline underdog parlay where $1 would have won me $2,000. I hit 6 of those. The one that did not hit was Purdue. And as an IU fan myself, it's almost poetic justice. Also, can we just talk about if Purdue would have been able to get that giant drum inside Notre Dame Stadium, I think they would have won.
I think the fact that they couldn't get the drum in the stadium was like an advantage for Purdue. Like that just as a gambler, I'm thinking like, okay, they're going to be pissed off. Notre Dame's being petty, like Notre Dame plus 7. That was one of my easiest locks of the weekend. I think Miles might have said it on Football Friday too.
Yeah,
I was absolutely stunned by that one. And of your heinous parlay, that was actually one of my favorites. So that one hurt pretty bad.
Well, and I was talking with Connor about this too. I don't know if you were watching that game. Purdue's down 14. They're driving at the end of the game, and they throw an interception in the touchdown where it went off the receiver's hands and right into the defender's hands to seal it. So if they actually hit that touchdown at the end of the game and kick the extra point, they actually cover. So it was just bad on all fronts.
Yeah, that hurts.
So I'm down bad. I had a chance to win $2,000. Didn't. Turn around. Here comes Sunday for NFL football. And for the 1 o'clock slate of games, all 9 of them, I put together a parlay, and $1 actually won me $342. So
huge.
I was really down bad after Saturday's barely missing that huge one. And then I come back and win a pretty good size one on Sunday. So it was an up and down weekend for me, but I'm coming into this this week pretty high.
And then didn't you lose Chiefs money line last night? Pretty hefty wager.
Yes, but that was for the Caesars promo. So even if I lose this $100, I'm getting a $150 jersey out of it. So you know, it is what it is.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. And fun fact:
you get
a
choice of jersey.
They just give you a $150 NFL Shop gift card. So you don't even have to get a jersey if you don't want to.
Oh, sheesh.
But me and Connor discovered this when we were kind of looking through the NFL shop. You can actually get a custom NFL jersey for your team for $150. So you can bet your sweet ass that whenever that gift card comes through, I'm getting a number 5 Colts jersey coming to my way.
That's probably a good call because there's a good chance you might be our starting quarterback next week.
Bingo. Sign me up. Dirty Mike, did you have something to add?
No, just loving it. Glad to be here, boy.
I just noticed you unmuted your mic, so I figured I'd drop in. So, but yeah, again, that's on me. I need to tweet these picks out before I hit them. So that's on me, but I'll work on that.
I guess though. So is this the second or third time that your Hail Mary parlay has hit?
Second.
That's still incredible.
This doesn't count as a Hail Mary parlay, though, right? Because it wasn't.
His odds was like 1 to 340.
No, correct. But he didn't tweet it out, and it was his like fourth best odds of any parlay that day, correct?
Well, yeah, technically. I bet the whole slate in a single parlay, and that didn't hit. But, I mean, it's still
dope.
Yeah.
But are we calling it a Hail Mary parlay of the day? Because it should be a Hail Mary parlay. I don't think it's...
Yeah, okay.
Because it wasn't the Hail Mary parlay of the day, and you certainly didn't tweet it.
Yes, that's fine. We can call it a Hail Mary parlay. And it technically doesn't fall in the lines of, you know, 10-plus legs and minus 130 or worse odds, blah, blah, blah. But it was still a pretty monumental hit.
All I'm saying, $1 to win $340. It's pretty dope. Not sure why you didn't bring beer over, but that's besides the point.
Next time, Mike. I tried to tell Diz and TY, I said, where are we partying at? And they kind of just gave me the cold shoulder.
Jesus, Diz.
Dude, I offered to host. I asked TY what he was doing, and he said he had to study.
Diz kind of offered to host, but he also just kind of said, I'm not going anywhere, so if you want to party, you have to come to my house.
That's hosting.
Well, I figured TY's here, Trevor's here, Patty's here. Hey, come to my place. It's kind of the middle point. And I certainly was not going anywhere. That's accurate.
Middle point of what? It's definitely not the middle point.
The Indianapolis airport in Franklin. I think my house is a good happy medium. It's actually probably 25 minutes from both people to my house from those destinations.
Yeah, right. Well, anyways, the next...
Sorry.
No, you're good. We're having fun. It's a good time. The next thing we're going to talk about is targeting in college football, okay? Now, Diz did not want to talk about this. That's fine. He doesn't have to say anything. But they need to change the rule.
This is my only thing, and this is all I'm going to say. What upset me about the one the IU game was that they weren't reviewing it for targeting.
Right, exactly.
That's it. If you're targeting is called, I think player safety. I get a hot take for this. I think player safety is a lot more important than a lot of football fans think. I'm totally okay with leaning on the side of calling targeting more than not. And ejecting players, like, I get that sometimes it's an accident, but at the end of the day, that can't happen. That's totally cool. But if you're reviewing a fumble and you kick someone out of the game, the fans and the coach and the viewers on TV should at least know that, hey, we're reviewing a targeting. That's the only way I'm at.
The announcers didn't even know they were reviewing for targeting. Like, or the people calling the game. And... Here's the thing. That completely changed that IU game this weekend, right? The IU's up 14-0. They just forced a punt, essentially. It's third down, third and 10, incomplete pass. They're going to punt. They review this play. They call it targeting. So Cincinnati gets the automatic first down. IU's best defensive player gets ejected for the game. And then, you know, the defense just doesn't have a chance against a good Cincinnati football team. I understand that. I'm with you 100%. Player safety is huge. Concussions are a killer, and there's no room for, you know, 30 play in the game. However, don't eject them right away on the first one, okay? Accidents happen. crazy things happen in football all the time. We see it happen. But if we're in the NFL and you give the NFL players, the people whose job it is to play football and play it well, you give them two opportunities at unsportsmanlike conduct, but you're giving these college athletes who may not even play football after this, you're giving them one chance. And if they accidentally hit someone near or around the helmet, you're going to eject them from the game. I mean, that's straight up ridiculous.
So my take is that logic has to be used, because the Micah McFadden hit, like, you saw the replays, like the crown of his helmet hit like the underside of the quarterback's face mask. So like, if a rule is going to be a rule, if your the crown of your helmet hits anywhere on the quarterback's head, then it's targeting, or the other player's head, then it's targeting. It's like, okay, but you have to look at that play as a whole. He's running at the quarterback. His job is literally to try to tackle the quarterback. And he's being pushed by a 300-pound lineman at the same time. And if you watch the play, there's a reason why nothing was called in lifetime, because it wasn't a purposeful hit. Like, it wasn't like he was trying to lead with his helmet. It was two grown-ass men running at each other, pushing each other, and colliding, instead of a receiver going over the middle and a safety blatantly hitting, taking him out with the crown of his helmet. So, like, there has to be some logic involved with this. And, I mean, this isn't the first time anyone has talked about this, but it's almost like there needs to be a targeting one and a targeting two.
Right.
If he gets 15 yards because his helmet contacted the other person's, the quarterback's face mask, they get 15 yards. It is what it is, but he's not ejected. It's a completely different ball game. IU sucks, so that's a whole different story. Our team just completely collapsed, so that's different in general. But for it to be that severe, like, I'm all with you guys as well. Player safety is huge. Like, you know, I don't think I'm letting my kids play football. Like, it's that dangerous. I get all that. I'm on that page. But there was a play later in the game where a Cincinnati player threw down a IU defenseman and then jumped on top of him, leading with his helmet. And all he got was an unsportsmanlike conduct and got to stay in the game. And it was clear as day he was the aggressor and trying to cause pain on this person. And it was not a football play. But yet this football play where he's being pushed into the guy, he gets ejected for. At some point, logic has to be involved with throwing somebody out of a game.
I mean, they're sweating like grease monkeys out there, Dirty Mike. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, you've got to take a deeper look at it than just his helmet hit his helmet. That's it.
Yeah. Agreed.
One thing that I wanted to point out that wasn't said, we all did win money on Cincy, so this isn't coming from a point of everyone being pissed off or anything about losing because someone was taken out. We all won money on it, so I just wanted to throw that out there. I do agree with the targeting. It should be two targets, but I typically don't watch college football, but I totally agree with that.
Great call, Connor.
Yeah, great little tidbit that we probably should have mentioned at some point, that we all made a significant amount of money on Cincinnati this weekend. So
I wanted to make it known so that it wasn't like, oh, they're just saying that because they wanted IU and
right.
all this.
Right. Absolutely. Anything else anyone wants to talk about targeting before we move on? Nope. Okay. So now we're moving on to daily fantasy. Like we said, on Mondays and Thursdays, we will be doing daily fantasy lineups for the single NFL game that is happening. Tonight, we got the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Does anyone want to start off with their lineup, or do you want me to just send it?
Send it.
Okay, so for my MVP, I actually went Jared Goff. And no, I did not go with the former MVP, Aaron Rodgers. But the main reason is that of that is because I think everyone will have Rodgers. It's clear as day that the Packers are going to have a huge bounce back game after a terrible performance week one. They won't take kindly to it. The Lions defense is horrendous. I do think that Rodgers will have himself a good game, but I'm kind of fading the public here a bit, so I'm going with Jared Goff as opposed to Aaron Rodgers. And then my rest of my lineup, I'm going Aaron Jones. I think they will feed him this week because they didn't run the ball at all last week, and that was probably part of the issue with their game plan. Devontae Adams. Now, this is purely a hedge for me. I'm going up against multiple teams this week in regular fantasy that have Devontae Adams, so I'm trying to kind of hedge here a little bit with that. And then I'm going with Jamal Williams. So for this one, I originally had Big Bob Tonyan for the same reason I had Devontae Adams. But DeAndre Swift is questionable tonight for the Lions, and so I think Williams could see more action. And also, the weather may not be great tonight, so I think there could be more running and short passes for both teams. And then this is my sleeper. This is the one I was kind of telling Connor about. I really, really like this one. So my sleeper is Quintez Cephas. Yes, that is a name. Quintez Cephas. He is a wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. He had a touchdown in week one. He also tied for the most targets out of all of the Detroit wide receivers in week one. So Goff clearly likes him. So Andy has a sweet name. So I'm going with Quintez Cephas to wrap up my daily fantasy lineup.
Bless you. You were going to say, and he has a sweet ass.
Maybe would have been a better better transition. But Connor, since you're on the mic, why don't you go ahead and give us your lineup?
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
I know.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be my MVP. I know, typical. But he's taking up a huge piece of the salary, and I think he's going to have a huge comeback game because the last one was a stinker for him.
Yep.
Aaron Jones is my number two, so I'm losing a lot of money here off of my number one and two, which takes me to my number three, Goff, who's basically taking the rest of my money.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you have left? Dear God.
I have a tight end for Detroit of Hawkinson.
How? How do you have all that money and still have room for another player?
And I have Benson, the receiver for Detroit, who I have never heard of, and he was $6,000 salary. I spent every last dollar of my salary so I can get Jones in there, because I think Jones is going to have a game since it's going to be raining, and Rodgers is going to have his comeback game after a stinker in week one. And I decided I do have a pick for tonight, and I want to tell you why when we get to it later.
Okay. Now, real quick, Connor, I do think that your lineup is significantly better than mine. But second, that Benson character that you picked at wide receiver?
Yes.
He tied with Quintez as the leader in targets for Detroit wide receivers.
Are you kidding me?
I'm legit serious. So in Detroit week one, it was Hawkinson, it was Jamal Williams, and DeAndre Swift. They each had like double-digit targets. So they went heavily with the running backs and tight ends. But then... Yep. Quintez and Benson, they tied with six targets apiece. So I absolutely love your lineup.
Yeah, Hawkinson was only 11K and Benson was six.
Yeah. I think I got Quintez at 6.5 because he had that one touchdown last week. But nonetheless, Diz, let's hear what you got.
It's Rodgers MVP. Aaron Rodgers is better than Jared Goff. Like, let's not.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what anyone else has. That's just, he's going to get the most points. Goff is one of my flex as well. I think they're going to be losing. He's going to have to pass a lot. And he actually racked up quite a few fantasy points there in week one against the Niners, who have a pretty solid defense. I got Jamal Williams partially because he's good value on the salary cap. And then, did you guys see his interview that went viral on Twitter?
Yeah.
Absolutely hysterical. He said the Detroit Lions were like his rebound, and they're taking him out to dinner and treating him well. So I'm all the way in on that guy. And then with my salary left, I got Big Rob Tonyan. I just love that guy. And then, of course, to end it, Mason Crosby, kickers for the win every single week, boys.
Heck yeah. I feel like I should get partial credit for your Big Bob Tonyan. I mean, you didn't know about Bob Tonyan until last season when I said, hey, make sure you check out Big Bob Tonyan. And you did. And I'm pretty sure he won you some money.
He certainly did win me some money, but he had one fantasy point last week. So we're hoping he does a little bit better this week. But hey, he's a fan. I'm a fan of his, so screw it. And I'm a little sussed out. Feel like I pick a shit team after listening to Connor's. I don't know right? how the hell he got those first four guys.
I think Connor might have cheated. He must have fudged some numbers and got a higher salary cap than the rest of us.
I just totally didn't fill it out, and I just read off some names, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Now, and it is funny you say that, Diz, about Jamal Williams. So my buddy Parker, he went to BYU, and so apparently Jamal Williams also went to BYU, and he said that this man shared carries with Taysom Hill in college. So if you kind of compare, you know, Taysom Hill to Jamal Williams and thinking about both of them on the same college football team together, I'm sure that was an electric group.
For sure.
So there you go. There's our daily fantasy. Hopefully we stay hot. Yeah, I mean, I hope you guys are enjoying the daily fantasy too. It's something different for us. It's exciting. Makes every single Thursday and Monday night game worth something, even if you don't have any money on the game or anything. And Connor wasn't going to put anything on the game, but he changed his mind. But it just always makes it more interesting, I think.
For sure.
All right, let's review our best bets from Friday. Diz, how'd you do on Friday?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, I mean, we had to. We can't just leave it hanging.
Stinker, 0-2, lost both of my teases. First time in a long time I've lost both of my teases. Saints, I don't know what the hell happened to the Saints. Steelers look fraudulent. And then, I mean, Titans beating the Seahawks, that's a double negative because Titans are going to win our division. And then what else was there? I had Chiefs. I guess Chiefs covered my tease, but still. I know Patty had Chiefs money line in a big wager. So I'm just down bad. Down bad NFL Sunday. Yeah, keep it moving. On to the next.
Like I said earlier in the show, I feel like I'm partially responsible. If I would have given you some heads up beforehand, you might have won some money yesterday. So that one's on me.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah. No more. No more of that crap. If I put a bet out, it's either gonna be on the pod or it's gonna be tweeted out. So hands up. That's the case. Which I might have like 10 different bets for the Green Bay game tonight, but that's besides the point. So I went 1-2 on Friday. My boy Flexen came home for me, never a doubt. If it's Flexen day and you get plus a half, you take it. But in the best bets competition, I am down 0.68 units. So I'm hovering right around even. I can't break the even, but I'm right around there. And then Diz is down 4.8 units. But you'll get it back. You'll get it back. And who says that I don't just go absolutely freezing cold after winning that big parlay, and then, you know, you're off to the races. So don't count yourself out of your free Fogo de Chao just yet, Diz.
Oh, Christ.
All right, let's get into our best bets of the night. I've got one in the NFL for you, and then I got two baseball ones. Yes, I am still betting on baseball. So in the NFL, I'm going Green Bay, Detroit over 48.5. We know both teams can score. The Lions put up 33 points on a very good 49ers defense last week. The Packers, even though they're coming off a 3-point stinker of a performance against the Saints, they do have a prolific offense, at least I believe. Don't overreact to week one and think that the Packers aren't going to be able to put up points. I expect this score to be somewhat like a 35-21 final score, maybe Packers win 35-21. And I honestly think that this is one of those situations where even if the Packers are up big late in the game, I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas. So I could see them running it up. So I'm taking the over 48.5 here. My second best bet. What was that, Diz?
I said, yup.
I'm hammering it over. I mean, it's right down your wheelhouse. Now the next my two baseball ones. My first one, Pittsburgh first five plus a half a run versus the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, I am betting on the Pittsburgh Pirates at my own dismay, possibly. I know you're laughing, Dirty Mike. You know how bad the Pirates are. But the main reasons for this is to fade the Reds. I mean, the Reds, the last 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, have just been unbelievably terrible. But lefty Dale Peters is going for the Pirates, Diz.
Dale on the doorstep?
Dale on the doorstep. His actual name is Dylan Peters, but I saw D. Peters and I went Dylan Peters.
I was going to say. Or Dale Peters. Actually Dale Peters.
But he has a 2.66 ERA with a 3.64 expected. And then righty, Diz's boy, Vlad Gutierrez is going for the Reds. 4.25 ERA with a 4.28 expected and a 4.39 ERA without spider attack. Now, unfortunately for me, the Pirates are last in the league in hitting righties, but the Reds are only 25th in the league in hitting lefties. So I'm going with my boy Dale Peters. Give me Pittsburgh first 5+ half a run.
Pat, once again, I think you go Pirates money line. We might win the first five, but our bullpen is still shit, and it's fade Red season, which means fade them the whole way.
I know, but I just... A part of me just hates betting full games. Like, you hate betting first fives. I hate betting full games. That's just who we are. So I'm sticking to my guns. But if you're looking to make some money there, Diz, maybe you put some money on the Pirates money line full game. And I know they're underdogs, so you'll get some good,
I would never do that.
Good value on that. And then my final best bet of the night, I'm going to the Milwaukee Brewers first five minus 1.5 versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I must say, I got to look at this because I swear I heard that maybe a different pitcher is going than what I originally thought, which that's a killer. Let's see. Oh, son of a gun. Oh, God.
Do your research before the pod, Pat.
I did, but I did this research probably at like noon today, and there was a completely different pitcher going than right now, but screw it. I'm sticking to my guns. We're going Milwaukee first five minus 1.5 versus the Cardinals. So the Cardinals are super hot, but they need to come back to earth at some point. I think tonight might be it. But the Brewers are pitching right-hander Peralta. He has a 2.57 ERA with a 2.64 expected and a 2.95 ERA without spider attack. Now, I thought the Cardinals were pitching Woodford, but it turns out the Cardinals are actually pitching John Lester. And Lester has been hot ever since he came to the Cardinals, so that worries me a bit. But I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Brewers first five minus 1.5 versus the Cardinals. All right, Diz, what do you got for your best bet of the night?
So I have one, and it's obviously Detroit Green Bay over 48.5. Everything you said was spot on. And daily fantasy, I want points. I want people to get points. I want to have fun watching this stinker of a game. Although I hope Aaron Jones does nothing, because an opponent of mine in fantasy has Aaron Jones. And I have a feeling he's just going to put up a 30-piece and I'm going to lose. But nonetheless, that's my only best. But we'll say Matty Ice, my boy, has been on heaters in same-game parlays. So I may jump on one of his same-game parlays right before kickoff. Haven't made up my mind yet. I'm a very indecisive human being. But I may take that. And if we get it out before kickoff, will that count as a best bet for the comp, Pat?
I'll allow it. I will allow it, yes.
Because my only best bet is actually one of your best bets. So I'm either rooting for you to lose your MLB bets or I can't gain any ground. So let's instead bet together, win together. We both want that over to hit. And then when Matty Ice gives me like a plus 500 lock of a same game parlay, I'm jumping your ass in the standings.
Well, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I can still X-nay this whole sketchy operation where you're taking other people's best bets and calling them your own. But
what's the slogan of the pod?
Bet together, win together. I'm with it. That's why I said I'll allow
it. Me taking yours? You taking it over is me stealing from you?
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you outsourcing your best bets to someone else. And then
he's hot.
He is. I can't deny it. I cannot deny it. So
We promote that on this pod.
That is true. We do promote we steal Bet Together, Win Together. Well, when let's not start that.
We steal shamelessly.
Okay. Well, we'll let Diz do his thing. Connor, do you want to share what your best bet is for tonight's game? You said you had one.
Yes. So I agree with your over 48.5. Green Bay is going to come out swinging. I did want to share a stat that my dad had shared with me before I choose my pick, in case anyone's uncertain whether Green Bay is going to win this game. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if any of you know this, but under Matt LaFleur, each of his six losses, do you know what his record is after a loss?
6-0, I did see that.
It is 6-0.
Yep.
The dude's going to come out swinging.
Also, I have another stat on top of that. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I believe Aaron Rodgers is 7-0 on Monday Night Football with 18 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, I believe.
Sheesh.
Oof. Well, his 6-0 after a loss is 16 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Bingo. I mean, how could you not bet the Packers tonight?
Right. So my bet, it's going to be windy and raining at Lambeau. I'm taking Aaron Jones to get 2 touchdowns.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Diz. You don't want to hear it, but I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to take it to the ground all game. It's going to be hard to get it all the way out to Davante Adams and throw it deep. I think they're going to keep it safe.
I'm okay with that, because like I said, I'm going up against someone that has Big Bob Tonyan and Davante Adams in their fantasy team. So if it turns into a ground-and-pound game where they score 50 points and Aaron Jones has 3 touchdowns, Jamal Williams has a couple himself, you know, I'll call it a day.
I am up 27 points. So he can rush for 3 touchdowns as long as he does not get receptions. The PPR is what absolutely murders me. As long as he just keeps on the ground, I'm totally okay with that.
Okay. All right. There you go. Dirty Mike, do you have anything you would like to share with us?
I did come prepared. I'll go back to baseball. I know everyone hates baseball and they're over baseball, but hey, it's still baseball season, folks.
Yep.
Contrary to Pat betting against both the Cardinals and the Reds, I'm going to stay true to my colors and I'm going to bet both of them, but I'm going to do it a little differently. I looked up the future odds to win the World Series, and the Cardinals are at plus 6,000, and the Reds are at plus 10,000, which seems like crazy odds considering that one of those two teams is going to make the playoffs. And right. All the odds for playoffs teams is like plus 300 and plus 700. So I went ahead and put some money down on both the Cardinals and the Reds. And my theory is you're just getting good value for those. Cardinals are super hot, and one of those teams is going to make a wild card game, and all you have to do is win one game. So even though they're going to have to face Scherzer and the Dodgers, it's one game. Anything can happen in that one game, and then, I mean, then they're in the thick of it with only 8 teams left.
Yep. I absolutely love that, Mike, and I don't know if you probably didn't hear this episode, but it was probably an episode last week. I took the Cardinals to win the World Series at plus 10,000 odds because I got it before that line started to move.
Yeah.
And then I just jumped on the Reds with you at plus 10,000 odds. So now I have the Reds and the Cardinals at each at plus 10,000 odds to win the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, it's super great value because one of those two teams, more than likely, unless the Padres straighten out, but they're a dumpster fire and they have to play, I think, the Dodgers and the Giants still. So my guess would be the Cardinals or the Reds, one of those two is making the playoffs. And with that good of odds, how can you not just, as Pat would say, sprinkle some on that?
Oh, yeah. It's always for a good sprinkle.
Yeah.
All right. Love it. You got anything on the football game tonight, Mike?
It's going to rain.
Yes. That's really funny. I do appreciate that, and that's a good it's a good gif every time he sends it. All right. Hail Mary parlay of the daytime. Little less juice on this one, but do you guys want to take a guess at the value? Connor probably already looked at it, so Connor kind of cheated, so I won't ask Connor. Well, Mike probably already looked at it too. Mike always looks at the episode notes. So, Diz, what do you got? What do you think the Hail Mary parlay of the day is at?
$756.41.
Nope. And actually, Mike and Connor won't have the right number anyways because I changed it. But
oh my God.
Well,
Sorry. You're not tweeting out your shit, Pat. I don't know what to tell you.
What's a tweet?
Oh, God. But anyways, it's $1 to win $450.53. So.
Oh, you didn't want us to guess?
Nope.
Okay. Only the people who didn't read your notes get to guess.
That's right.
Prepared for shit.
How am I supposed to pass this class if you aren't giving me the right answers?
It's a good question. But first one, we got the NFL, Green Bay, Detroit over 48.5. And the rest of these are MLB. I got Pittsburgh first 5 plus a half a run versus the Reds. White Sox first 5 minus half run versus Detroit. Washington first 5 money line versus Miami. Baltimore first 5 plus half run versus the Phillies. Yankees first 5 minus 1.5 versus Texas. Toronto first 5 money line versus Tampa Bay. Milwaukee first 5 minus 1.5 versus St. Louis. Oakland first 5 minus half versus Seattle. And then finally Atlanta first 5 minus half versus Arizona. All right, boys. Anything you guys need to get off your chest before we call it a day?
I am asking that Dirty Mike please be on Thursday's pod. We have to have a Ryder Cup preview.
I already have some picks lined up, so don't you worry, my friend.
All right. Thursday's going to be a packed episode. It's going to be college football, Thursday night football, Ryder Cup. I mean, this is going to be can't-miss podcast action, folks.
Absolutely. And I am off on Friday, so I'm bringing heat on Thursday night. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Well, and I'm also, me and Connor are also going to Topgolf Thursday afternoon. So,
sheesh.
It's going to be a heck of a little Thursday for all of you.
Sounds expensive.
Oh, don't worry. It's on the company.
Ew.
Come on. We're accountants. You think we would pay for that? Nah, no chance.
Such a douche.
Yep. Love it. All right. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. I will try to be better. Diz, Connor, and Dirty Mike, they can't be any better than they already are. So just keep rolling with them.
Goddamn right.
We love you guys. Hopefully you guys have another profitable start to your week. And we will see you all on Thursday.
Miss you, sunshine.